Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Galatians chapter 4, and then also to the portion of scripture that Paul Wuttke read, Luke chapter 2. Shall we stand? We read from Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to what? To redeem them that were under the law. What did the law show? That we are sinners, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us. At Thanksgiving, we thank you for this great nation. But Lord, at this time of year, we thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And we'll be reading in just a moment from the book of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 1. Christmas. Thoughts that immediately come to mind. Well, how about the lights? Do you like the lights? You know, there are some trees, some homes that really just go all out. There's one over here on Clinton River Road, just the other side of Ford High School, and they have all kinds of pine trees, and the trees are all decorated, and it looks so nice as you go by. As you drive through the town hall area of Sterling Heights itself, they have the trees all decorated, and it looks so nice. And you probably have a favorite tree or area in your neighborhood or someplace that you travel, and you think, oh, they did such a good job. The lights. You light up your tree or your Christmas tree there in your house. And I would imagine by now if you're going to put up a Christmas tree, it's up, right? And you look at it and it's nice. And you know, we're not worshiping that tree, are we? Now, if you are worshiping that tree and the lights, you've got things in the wrong order. But we do it as a celebration of Christmas. How about this? Time off. Unless you're in the world where you have to take care of customers and stores, that might not be too exciting. But you think of time off from work. You think of gifts, gift giving and gift receiving. Our son Matthew came over for Rachel's marriage, and Jim and Lori now have two out of the house. Anna, they're saying you can't get married for 10 years. Yeah, they want you there a long time. But they came over for the wedding, and so we celebrated Christmas yesterday, and there were the giving of gifts and whatnot. And, you know, you think of Christmas and you think of gifts, but was Christmas really for us to receive gifts? No. No, we receive gifts basically on the idea that the wise men brought gifts. But that's nice because the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. We think of snow. How many of you are dreaming of a white Christmas? I see two. Did I see a hand over here, Cheryl? Did you have your hand up? Three. Anybody else care if we have snow for Christmas? Some of you think you may want it. Okay. Well, may I say this? We think of snow. It's something that goes along. How about food? Yeah, are any of you hungry right now? Yeah, you know, I'm hungry right now. Breakfast was a long time ago. But the fact is we think of all this food. My wife makes from scratch cranberry dessert or food. And she likes that. But how many of you ever have at Christmas oysters? Anybody? Nobody? Oyster stuffing, yes. Donna's family had oysters at Christmas time. Did you notice I said Donna's family? had oysters at Christmas time. What did that tell you that this guy didn't have at Christmas time? No oysters. But you know, you have the ham or you have the turkey or you have whatever it may be, and you think of food. But can I tell you this, that the very first Christmas was not a festive time? That there were people grumbling about having to go back to whatever city it was because it became inconvenient. We know that there would be tears because Herod would slaughter the innocents. We find that Joseph and Mary had to flee for their life because of what was going to happen, and they went down to Egypt. It was not a festive time. And can I say this, in many parts of our world, it's not a festive time. But we realize to the born-again believer, Christmas, or the time that we celebrate the birth of Christ, is a very glorious and marvelous time. Yesterday, I was performing a funeral service. The thing about death is it has no respect of time. And as I looked at the family and as I talked to them and as I gave my thoughts, I saw pain. I saw the need for peace and comfort. And you know how it is at the end of a funeral, the people come by and they say their last goodbyes. And there were lots of tears. There were lots of people crying, and it was a very difficult time. And yet we realize, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a peace that God gives us. If you would please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2, and one of the places or one of the things we think of at Christmas is home, is home. The Lord gave me this message about 2 weeks ago, and I kept thinking to myself, Brother Lance, when am I going to speak this sermon? Little did I know that the Lord was already preparing for this Sunday. And I can guarantee you, he'd much rather be here than in quarantine there at his house. But verse 1 says, and it came to pass in those days. Do you ever have one of those days? Do you ever wake up on a certain day and it just starts out bad? There's this taste in your mouth that you wonder, where did that come from? And you look in the mirror and you want to scream because of the way your hair looks. And you know, the day may just get worse from that point on. You have one of those days. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Boy, don't you love taxes? Amazing. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, I do not know if Joseph had ever been to Bethlehem before. I don't know if he had ever gone home. I mean, it wasn't like he could hop in a car and take off and be there in an hour and a half or two. I don't know. But he realized that he had to go back to Bethlehem because that fulfilled the prophecy that it would be in Bethlehem of Judea that the Savior would be born. And it says here, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Home. How about the song, I'll be what for Christmas? I'll be home for Christmas. Not everybody will be home for Christmas. Some are stationed around the world, like our grandson in Japan, and he won't be home for Christmas. You may have family members that are out of state, and they simply are unable to come home. And yet, There's something about Christmas that makes us think about home. Maybe it's being around mother. Maybe that's what it's about. I don't know. But home. And then there are those who are not at home because of dissension in the family. They're estranged. You probably know of people like that, where there just simply isn't that coming together. We know that there are many suicides at this time of year. That there are those who say they don't want to watch the movies that talk about coming home at the Christmas season. And I guarantee you that the last place Joseph wanted to go was Bethlehem. Can you give me a number one reason why he didn't want to go to Bethlehem? Because his wife was what? Pregnant. And she wasn't just pregnant, she was pregnant. And ladies, you've all heard this question, how would you like to ride on a donkey when you were almost 9 months pregnant? And to ride about 90 miles. Wouldn't that be exciting? And as you traveled along, were there any McDonald's or Cracker Barrels? Were there any places along the way that you could stop and get your favorite food to eat or stop in a motel, hotel? It wasn't an easy journey. A pregnant wife and having to give up whatever work you did for a period of time. Verse 5 says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Didn't I tell you she was pregnant? Great with child. She was ready to deliver. You ever see a pregnant woman sitting in a chair and someone says, oh, you've got to get up and go from here to there. And she struggles and three people try to pull her out of the chair. You've seen that, haven't you? Now, none of you women were ever that way, were you? No. Pregnant, traveling on a donkey, going with her husband. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was what? No room for them in the inn. This was home? This was how they were going to celebrate the birth of their child? Wow. Ponder this. Why did Jesus come? So that we could spend eternity at home. At home. Jesus said that he had gone to prepare a place for us. At home. He came so that we could go home. Do you look forward to going home? My dad, in his last few months, talked of going home. The last couple of years, while he was in first place up in Romeo and then over here in Clinton Township, talked about going home. Now, he did talk about going to 8639 Leslie, but he wanted to go home to his heavenly home. You do realize that the only way we can go home is because of Jesus Christ. It is the only reason. Religion will not get us into heaven. And as I told the people yesterday, there's a lot of religion in our society, but it will not get us into heaven. Our good works will not get us into heaven, and some of you are really good, but that won't get us into heaven. Church membership will not get us into heaven. Baptism will not get us into heaven. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came so that we could go home. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, we are told what angel came to Mary, but we're not told who this angel was. I wonder if our Lord said, hey, we've got a job for you. We need one person to go and talk to shepherds. Now, the shepherds were at what end of the spectrum when it came to society? They were at the bottom of society. They often stunk. Their clothes were not the best. And yet the Lord is sending an angel to declare this great thought to them. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To all people. He didn't die just for the Jews, but he also died for the Greeks and the Gentiles. The joy that comes with knowing Christ as Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. The world needs a Redeemer. The world needs a Savior. The world needs Jesus Christ. The world needs Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came for one purpose, and that was to die. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he drew near that time, he said unto the Heavenly Father, if there's not another way, then I'll go. He knew there wasn't another way. He knew that he was going to have to die for you and for me. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying. Now, the verse ends there with a comma. We'll stop for a moment. A multitude. If he asked for volunteers. If God said, who's willing to go and sing? I can just see the angels reaching up and saying, I'll go. I'll go. I'm willing to go. Folks, we need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to tell. We need to be willing to share that a Savior has been born. And he's for all people. Notice they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can I put in this the thought that only true peace in our world will come through the Lord Jesus Christ? It's only through Jesus that we truly experience peace. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The fact of the matter is, the people of Israel were waiting for the Messiah. Except they wanted the Messiah to come as a king, not someone born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. But they pondered. Our society today ponders what to do. We've taken our eyes off the Lord. We've taken our eyes away from the Word of God. We've drifted away, and even in churches today, we have drifted from the truth. What we need is to get our eyes back on the Lord. Home. Ellie Singer wrote this thought. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand in finding it God's. A breathing new air in finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. Home. Do you look forward to going home? I'm not talking about the structure you live in here today. But do you look forward to going home and meeting Jesus? Do you look forward to going home and seeing the redeemed of the Lord? I wonder what type of welcoming committee there will be. Will family members be near the front? And friends, church family following? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this, I look forward to going home. If you would, in conclusion, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As I talked to Suzanne LaFada's family representatives the day before the funeral, I asked them if they had any verses they would like to have read. And they had their mother's Bible with them. And they went to a place that was marked by one of her Bible markers. And it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 55. I thought it was very appropriate. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I also read, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Mary and Joseph were faithful, and their labor was not in vain. The shepherds saw this marvelous thing and told others, and it was not in vain. The wise men came with their gifts, and it was not in vain. If we serve our life faithfully for the Lord, it will not be in vain. Won't it be nice to go home and have Jesus Christ say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Shall we stand together? Number 17 in our songbook, have thine own way, Lord. What a blessed thought to be able to serve the Lord all the days of our life. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that you would bless it. Touch hearts, Lord, as only the Spirit can. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.